Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, May 11th. Plans for an oil and gas development about 12 miles northeast of Paonia are moving forward. According to a press release from the Bureau of Land Management, the preliminary environmental assessment for Gunnison Energy's North Fork Mancos Master Development Plan is available for public comment. The land under discussion is adjacent to the BLM's Bull Mountain Master Development Plan. Gunnison Energy's proposal calls for drilling up to 35 wells on 5 pads. 3 of those pads would be located on public land managed by the U.S. Forest Service. The other 2 pads would be on private land. BLM Public Information Officer Shannon Borders told KVNF News that the proposed development sits in both Delta and Gunnison counties and would be situated north of Paonia Reservoir. General access to the project area would be via State Highway 133 to County Road 265. The proposed wells could produce up to 700 billion cubic feet of natural gas over the 30-year life of the project. According to the BLM press release, the preliminary environmental assessment of the Master Development Plan analyzes oil and gas development. It is available to the public, and the BLM is taking comments. Here is Shannon Borders.
It's called the North Fork Mancos Master Development Plan, and it considers oil and gas development near Paonia. We're taking comments on this Master Development Plan until June 9th, and there are a variety of ways to submit those comments. You can either mail those to the Colorado River Valley office in Silt. You can send those to the Forest Service, or you can go online and to BLM.gov and look for the RE planning site and search for the North Fork Mancos Master Development Plan.
The press release also reminds the public that the BLM cannot guarantee that your information would remain private. It says, quote, "You should be aware that your entire comment, including your personal identifying information, may be made publicly available at any time. While you can ask us in your comment to withhold your personal identifying information from public review, we cannot guarantee that we will be able to do so." End quote. Borders told KVNF News that comments and private information could be made available to anyone under the Freedom of Information Act.
We can receive a FOIA request for anything that we do as a federal agency, so that it may result in your information being released to the public. We also analyze every comment that we receive. So when we do that, your comments may not necessarily be attributed to you, but you will definitely see your comment as a part of the analysis.
The BLM is accepting public comment about the preliminary environmental assessment until June 9th. The document can be read in its entirety at eplanning.blm.gov. In a last-minute compromise, state lawmakers reauthorized the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. As Benta Berkland reports, the deal came together just hours before the legislature adjourned on Wednesday.
The 7-member commission hears civil rights cases in the state. Lawmakers agreed to limit how many from each party can serve, and they added a business representative. Democratic Representative Leslie Harrod says it's an important compromise.
We put together, I think, a balanced proposal. It was a big issue to add a business member. It was a big issue to change the makeup of the commission and to give away the majority power of the majority party.
Some GOP changes to the nominating process did not pass. The governor would still appoint members, and the Senate would confirm nominees. But anyone who is rejected by the Senate could not be reconsidered for at least 2 years. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The federal agency that manages water in the West says southwestern states are facing an increasing risk of water shortages. As Luke Runyon reports, the agency is adding pressure to talks that have stalled over the Colorado River's future.
The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation says there's a more than 50% chance the Colorado River will be in an official shortage within 3 years without action from states that rely on the river. An extended drought and chronic overuse have sapped the river's largest reservoirs. Arizona and Nevada would be among the first to take cutbacks during a shortage. In a statement, Reclamation Commissioner Brenda Berman says states can't wait for a crisis to take action, and that water managers in the seven states that draw from the river need to come up with plans to voluntarily cut back on water use. A Reclamation spokesperson says the agency has the authority to step in and dictate water policy to the states, but isn't explicitly threatening that at this time. I'm Luke Runyon.
Efforts to restore native rainbow trout in the Black Canyon have made national news. From a news release from the city of Montrose, a news crew from CBS This Morning spent nearly 2 days earlier this week documenting the local fishing industry. The piece is set to air later this month. To preserve the trout's ecosystem and keep the gold medal fishing waters of the Gunnison River a destination, biologists and researchers with Colorado Parks and Wildlife have been combating the devastating whirling disease, a fatal illness so severe that rainbow trout can no longer reproduce in significant numbers on their own. Now, they believe they may have turned a corner in that fight. The CBS News crew observed a Parks and Wildlife team catching and milking rainbow trout in the Black Canyon. The team spent 2 days meeting local anglers, commercial guides, and outfitters. Each year, Colorado Parks and Wildlife spends millions to preserve fish habitats for the state's multi-billion-dollar fishing industry. By using hatcheries, the fish can be raised in water that is free of diseases like whirling. By rebuilding this population, biologists hope that rainbow trout can reproduce naturally with immunity from the whirling disease. And in other news about the Black Canyon, a new National Park Service report shows that over 307,000 visitors to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park in 2017 spent over $18 million in communities near the park. That spending supported 236 jobs in the local area and had a cumulative benefit to the local economy of over $22 million. Also, the report shows that over 1 million visitors to Curacanti National Recreation Area in 2017 spent over $44 million in communities near the recreation area. That spending supported 551 local jobs and had a cumulative benefit to the local economy of nearly $50 million. According to the 2017 report, most park visitor spending was for lodging or camping, followed by food and beverages, gas and oil, souvenirs and other expenses, admissions and fees, and local transportation. And that was your regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.